Well, if you're like me, you are anxious to see real signs of spring after this long, cold winter. And if you're on a dairy farm, there are no mistaking the signs of a new season. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along on the Ideas Network. Inga Witcher hosts Around the Farm Table on Wisconsin Public Television, and she and her husband, Joe Maurer, own and operate a small organic dairy farm near Osseo, Wisconsin. Inga, great to see you again.
Nice to see you, too. Thanks for having me down.
I'm embarrassed to tell you something. You were in a trivia event contest. You were the question in a trivia contest. And the question was, where is the nearest town for Inga, where she lives? And I could not remember Osseo, and I said Oliva.
Well, close enough.
I was pretty close. But you're from the Osseo. You have that farm near Osseo.
Near Osseo, yes.
And it's how big a farm is it?
We only have 30 acres.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty small farm for a dairy farm, but it's just enough to keep us busy without overwhelming us too much.
You know, spring, it's a great time on the farm, but especially when there are animals involved, those farms that have animals. What happens on a Wisconsin dairy farm this time of year?
Well, for us, we decided that it would be the best for our farm if we calved all of our cows in the springtime. Mm-hmm. So what we do is we dry those cows up for about 2 months in the wintertime. And right now we have our calving season happening. We have 3 cows that just calved in the last week. And it's a wonderful time because the snow is melting. Hopefully it's not going to return. And the cows are anxious to get out in pasture, and they're all having their calves. And we can get back into the swing of things and get back farming, which for us has been a welcomed event.
Yeah, the wintertime there's always plenty to do.
Sure.
But it's a different kind of time of the year.
There, you know, the difference between farming in the wintertime and farming in the springtime is about, 50 degrees, I think. Isn't it so much nicer to go outside when you don't have to freeze in order to just get one little thing done?
We have some people already asking about the show. And the show, it airs on Wisconsin Public Television, also Milwaukee Public Television as well.
Correct. And then if anyone's listening close to Minneapolis, it's going to start airing in Minneapolis on the Twin Cities Public Television in May. And then we're getting picked up by affiliates around the Midwest, which we're excited about.
Oh, yeah. And for those who haven't seen the show yet, what are the times and so forth?
So Around the Farm Table, you can watch it online right now at WPT.org or on our website, aroundthefarmtable.com. Mm-hmm. We're in the process of producing the second season right now. We wrapped up with 1.5 episodes. We got one more segment to do, and then we're waiting for the weather to get a little warmer, and we're going to keep filming, and it'll air again this fall. Yeah. So if you haven't watched the first season, you can watch it online. Otherwise,
that's pretty cool. It's nice to be able to do that. Yeah, I think it's wonderful that it's there whenever you want to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, you made a special treat.
I did.
To celebrate the spring calving season.
And Larry, we have about 15 cows right now on our farm. We're hoping to expand a little bit more as the years progress and we have more heifer calves. But right now we have 15 cows, and we have 3 cows fresh, like I said before. But we don't have enough milk to ship. We don't have enough milk for the milk truck to really stop by our farm and pick it up. So we are now in a situation where we have more milk than we know what to do with. We've been trying to utilize it in any way possible. And one thing that I've been doing is making fresh ricotta cheese. It sounds complicated, but it is so easy. And it's nice. Mm. It's a whole milk ricotta. And it's a little bit, ricotta traditionally is made from the whey in the cheese making process. So you have your curds and your whey, and whey is a byproduct of cheese making, but it makes wonderful ricotta. Today I brought with a whole milk ricotta since I had some whole milk.
Well, this is absolutely, I'm eating a piece right now. I wish everybody could have a bite of this because it's wonderful on some homemade bread. That's great. And then some honey.
A little bit of honey. My friend Eric Lilliquist lives over by the Arboretum here in Madison, and he keeps bees in his backyard. And his son lives up by me, and when he comes up, he drops some off, and it's just the best.
Mm.
And I love it. So we're really, really lucky.
Well, we have posted that recipe on our Facebook page. At the Larry Mueller Show, I'm talking with my mouth full here, and so I will invite people. And it's It's not that hard, is it?
No, I encourage everybody to try it because it literally takes like 15 minutes. And most of that time is standing there watching the milk. So it's not labor intensive. And plus, if you have people coming over for dinner or something or lunch, you serve them this homemade ricotta and they think, wow, this is amazing.
I guess so.
You can make cheese. So try it out.
Well, that's go to the Larry Mueller Show. You'll get the recipe and it's... frankly, and the ingredients are what needs to be done, pretty straightforward.
It's you heat up the milk and then you add a little lemon juice or vinegar just for that acid, and then you wait for it to coagulate, and then you just drain it out.
Yeah,
super easy.
What could be simpler? The Bungalow Chef from Chicago is on the phone. Hi.
Hi there, Larry. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Inga.
Hi. How are you doing today?
Good, good, good. You know, I'm from Chicago, and I have to tell you, I've been following your posts on Facebook, and that ricotta cheese looks fantastic.
It is.
And you posted a cake the other day. What type of cake was it, Inga?
That's a ricotta cheesecake. Again, I'm trying to figure out every way possible of using any of the whole milk on the farm. So I made a ricotta cheesecake, which is, it's different than a traditional sort of New York style cheesecake. It's a little bit lighter. And my brother-in-law tasted it the other day and he said it reminded him of a European dessert. It wasn't overly sweet, which my husband loves it because he doesn't like overly sweet things, which is probably why he married me.
I don't know. I think you're pretty sweet.
Oh.
I so enjoy watching you on the internet, and I've just heard some kind of interesting news that you'll be in the Chicago market this fall, possibly, with your show?
Yes, yes. We hope to be there maybe in September or October. So hopefully we'll come down beforehand and do some events in the area and get people to get excited about Midwestern agriculture.
Now, I have to ask you, what are the names of the calves?
Well, we only have one heifer calf so far. We try not to name our bull calves just because it's better that way. But we did come up with a name for our one heifer calf, and her name is Barb. We just really love that name. So it's Barb the heifer calf.
All right, there you go. Thanks a lot for calling.
Thanks so much.
Yep. Have a great day.
Appreciate the call. You can join in, too, if you have a question or comment. Have you spent time on a Wisconsin dairy farm? I know we have dairy farmers who actually listen to the program as well. Love to hear your experiences, maybe visiting or even farming. Have you ever made your own ricotta cheese? I am going to do this. I am definitely going to do this because this is really good.
And you don't even need to have your own dairy farm to make it. There's so many places now that where you can buy whole milk right off the... what's down here? Sassy Cow Creamery?
Yeah, Sassy
is that
Cow.
Right? Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And we have Castle Rock up near Eau Claire, so...
Yep. There you go. You can join in at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@WPR.org. It's talk@WPR.org. Or you can post on my Facebook page... at the Larry Mueller Show, we'd certainly love to hear from you. I know somebody wondered about care and the amount of work that is involved with caring for a cow before calving and then during the calving.
Well, that's a great question. And we put a lot of care into that animal before she calves because there's two times in the cow's life where she will experience stress. And that's when she gets dried off. And when she calves. I mean, never given birth, but I imagine it's quite the experience. So what we do beforehand is we make sure we have free choice kelp for the cows. Mm-hmm. That gives them some other vitamins and minerals. We make sure that they have proper dry bedding so that they can stay clean. And then we also give them aloe vera, which is an immune system booster. I was listening on Thursday when you had the holistic veterinary here, and she said how important it is to have a healthy immune system. And it's the same with a dairy cow. So we give them about 8 ounces of aloe vera beforehand for about a week, and then we continue that aloe vera afterwards.
So they ingest that?
It's like a little pellet.
Okay.
Yeah, and they just eat it right with their grain. And then we want to make sure that they're, after they calve, it's really important to make sure, first of all, that they're calving okay. I know growing up on a dairy farm for you, Larry, you probably have experience with pulling calves.
Pulling calves, oh yes. I can remember that well.
So we want to make sure that everything goes well there. And then we also want to make sure that the cow has plenty of warm water to drink, plenty of fresh hay to drink, that they're standing up and they're licking that calf off and they're being a good mother. So it's all very important.
And getting that first milk.
That's the colostrum is so important.
We have Lisa in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, up next. Hi, thank you for calling, Lisa.
Hi, Larry. Hi, Inga.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. I had a question, and I also wanted to share with you happiness that you're going to be also in the Twin Cities area, I think.
Oh, yes. We're so excited about that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I've enjoyed your following online for quite a while, and I love the way that the programs have expanded, and it's just great that you're reaching out to so many people.
Oh, Lisa, thank you so much. It's so great to have fans like you.
Well, it's my pleasure. I have a question for you regarding the use of the homemade ricotta cheese.
Sure.
Do you use it in savory cheesecake type recipes as well?
I haven't tried that yet, but that sounds wonderful. What I did with a savory recipe is I mixed it with some chopped up rosemary and then some lemon zest, and I put it on some bread with a little bit of olive oil over top. And I thought, oh, that's wonderful. But I would love to try it in maybe a savory tart.
That sounds really good. The reason I thought about that is I saw something as I was perusing Facebook a few days ago. I'm always on the lookout for new and, you know, healthy recipes. And I saw something with like a ricotta cheese tart with caramelized onions. And that just sounded like it would be custom made for, you know, your homemade ricotta cheese.
That sounds great.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. Mm.
Well, thank you, Lisa.
It's been my pleasure, and best wishes to you for the expansion of the program. Reach out to a lot of people.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks a lot for calling. Barb in Waseca. Hello.
Good morning. Good morning, Inga. I think that the new heifer calf name is just wonderful.
Well, Barb and Barb.
I think that's great. It made my heart really happy when I heard that.
Good.
I took a cheese making class from Linda Conroy several years ago, and so started making cheese at home when I lived up in the Mondovi area. And I did have access to a couple of farmers where I could get their milk. And there was one day when I wanted to try cheese curds, and I was using Ayrshire milk. And so I made this wonderful batch, and my husband was watching football, and so I got the cheese curds all, you know, it took me, quite a while to get them all ready. And when they were fresh, I, you know, put some salt on them and took them in, and he took a bite and says, "Well, these are like real. Of course they're real. They're made in the kitchen. They're just, you can't get much fresher than this." So I have not been able to locate a farmer source down here yet in southwestern Wisconsin, but so I, you know, need to go to the store and get my whole milk. But it's just so much fun making cheese at home, and then I make feta. And then put that in olive oil with garlic and rosemary in the jars, and it's just so wonderful.
That sounds great.
And then we did make ricotta in class too, and that was really fun. So it was a wonderful thing to do.
Yeah, and it's easy. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, all right.
Appreciate it.
I love your shows. I mean, they're great, and I'm looking forward to the next season.
Oh, thanks, Barb. Hey, I'm going to think about you tonight when I'm feeding my calf, Barb.
Well, thank you. I hope so. When I come up to Mondovi sometime, I'll have to come up for a visit. And
absolutely.
Taken with Barb. So.
Thanks, Barb.
Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot for calling. Oh, and you should stay tuned, too, because Georgia Pellegrini is going to be up next. And she makes her own cheese, too. She's got a new book out. It's called Modern Pioneering. And we'll talk some more about it later on. But she's kind of back to the farm, I guess you could say, in some ways. But a lot of the things she does could be done right in the middle of Milwaukee or any place else, for that matter. We are talking today with Inga Witcher, who hosts Around the Farm Table on Wisconsin Public Television. Right now, you can also see it on the Wisconsin Public Television website, but also at Inga's site. What's that site, Inga?
It's aroundthefarmtable.com.
Aroundthefarmtable.com. Of course, we have a link to it on my Facebook page, so I hope you'll take a look at it. You're going to really like you'll really like it a lot. I'm Larry Mueller. Judith Cyrus-Poisson, our producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Great to have you listening in on the Ideas Network. Hope you'll stay tuned. As I mentioned, at 11:45, Georgia Pellegrini talks about her new book called Modern Pioneering, More Than 150 Recipes, Projects and Skills for a Self-Sufficient Life. Right now, talking with Inga Witcher about spring on a Wisconsin dairy farm, talking about her program, and certainly inviting your questions and comments at 800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We've got a kind of a cool picture, a photo up on our page. If you maybe you've got a nice farm photo, post that on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. Lynette in Richfield, thank you so much for calling. Hi.
Hi. I have a recipe for a savory cheesecake. It's really simple.
Okay.
It's 4 ounces of the ricotta.
Okay.
2 ounces of goat cheese and 2 ounces of cream cheese. Whip that up in a food processor and add 1 egg and 1 tablespoon of sugar. Whip that up until it's smooth and then pulse in a little bit of, what do you call it? Red pepper, roasted red pepper strips, just a few of those, just pulse that in, and then pour it into a 4-inch springform pan and bake it in a hot water bath at 350 for about 45 minutes or so. You still want it a little wiggly in the middle before you take it out. And then when you serve it, take apricot jam that has been slightly diluted with water.
Oh, my gosh.
Pour that over the top and serve it with crackers or pita chips, and it's wonderful.
That sounds great.
Yeah, that does sound good. How long did you bake it? I forgot. I didn't get that.
Oh, about 45 minutes.
Oh, 45 minutes. Okay. Apricot jam. Hmm.
I'm going to try that this week. Thank you.
We've got it, I think. And Judith says she's going to put it up on our Facebook page a little bit later. She doesn't have time right at the moment because she's answering your calls, but she'll get it up on the Facebook page at WPR.org. And it is pretty straightforward. Thanks, Lynette.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Appreciate the call. It sounds good to me. Nikki in Wauwatosa. Hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi. So I've got 2 questions. Mm-hmm. And I apologize. I'm a city girl. I have a little bit of experience from volunteer work, but I'm still a city girl. So I've always wondered, the babes, how long do you let them stay with the mom so that they can get the colostrum before you pull them and then you can use the milk for yourself? And then my second question is, with the baby boys, I understand that they have to be sent elsewhere, but is it at all financially viable? Like, how much would it cost to raise one of the baby bull calves to the point where one could take it in? And like, we always buy a quarter beef to fill our freezer with.
Yep.
So like, how expensive would it be to get one of these calves and have a friend raise it so that we knew it was, you know, raised mm-hmm. nicely and grass-fed and all of the nice words that everybody says?
Ma'am.
Great questions. Well, first of all, every farm is different. So I think that depending on your situation for your farm, you're going to keep your cows with your calves for different lengths of time. What we found that works for us on our dairy farm is to leave the cow and the calf together for about 12 to 24 hours, depending on how many cows we need to get back in the maternity pen and just some other things like that. So, but I found that at least 12 hours with the calf makes the mom feel better, makes the calf feel better. They're healthier. One thing that I found with the dairy cows is that they clean easier, which is, I mean, kind of mm-hmm. a gross topic, but they seem healthier. They're, and the calf gets the colostrum. So it's different for every farm. But also with the raising the bull calves, it's expensive. I mean, I figured if I was going to raise heifer calves from birth to when they calve at about 2 years old, it's going to cost me somewhere around $1,500 with bringing in the feed. Even though I graze heavily in the grazing season, it's still it's expensive. So what we've done in the past on our farm is we've raised some of the calves until they're weaned, and then we sell them to somebody who has maybe extra pasture, or maybe they're putting up their own hay and they can get a little bit cheaper. And then possibly those guys can raise a little bit cheaper. But one of the reasons why grass-fed beef or local beef is more expensive than, say, you know, regular grocery store beef is because you're putting in so much time into these animals. You're putting in so much feed. Mm-hmm. It's fencing costs. It's everything. And when I say that it cost me about $1,500 to raise that from the birth to 2 years old, I'm not putting in there my cost of time. That's just that's just my cost. So so it's, if you have the space or if you have a couple acres in the back and you say, boy, if I can find a dairy farm nearby and I can get some bull calves pretty cheap, I think it's, you know, maybe a good idea.
Yeah. Bull calves are going to cost you a bit more. There's a few things that would, because you're going to have to neuter.
Yeah, well, that's, yeah, that's, but it's, I don't know, it's not cheap.
Not cheap.
I used to work up in Minnesota, and I volunteered at a zoo that would have, that would raise a couple of calves, like during the summer for a local dairy. And then towards the end of the summer, just because calves are cute, everybody loves to come to the zoo and see the calves. And then at the end of summer, they'd send them back to the dairy farm. So it was sort of, we scratched their back, they scratched ours.
That's great.
In the situation. And I've also taken care of, because I'm a nurse, I've taken care of people who have been, shall we say, beaten up by their big bulls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's my experience. It's not much, but it's enough to know the realities of things at times.
Yeah. And you do not have your own, you guys don't have your own bull, do you?
No, we do all artificial insemination. Yeah. I've known every farmer that's had a bull that I've met has always had a bull story, and I don't want to be one of those farmers that has the bull story.
No, absolutely not. Nikki, thank you so much. Appreciate your call. I want to give Judith a chance to join in from Turtle Lake. Judith, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hello, Inga.
Hi, Judith. How are you?
Oh, good. I heard your story about milk, and all I could think of is we need to get together because I have eggs.
Well, that's perfect. We could make a cake.
Well, I do a lot at this time of year with custards.
Oh, yeah.
Lays, quiches. Yes, my birthday's this time of year, and I have a husband who cooks, and I'm very grateful for the fact that when he asks what I'd like for my birthday, I can say a souffle.
Oh.
It's marvelous. The other thing you might investigate is George Washington's eggnog recipe.
Okay.
He was a distiller, and so he had a very interesting way to preserve eggs.
Huh.
I have that recipe somewhere.
Right. And I just wanted to tell you, I've enjoyed the show. I just saw the segment on Wheatfield Hill Organic with Helen Keyes.
Uh-huh.
And her thoughts about soil are the same as my husband Ken's and mine.
Oh, good.
So wonderful.
She's a touching woman to hear the passion that she has for her farm.
Yeah, she's on the board of Cornucopia, and they're one of our hero organizations.
I think she just got elected to be the president, actually, just not too long ago.
Okay.
Very cool.
Yeah, that was just marvelous. All your segments are good, but that one, it's always so fun to hear someone saying what we all so frequently say. And sometimes they do them in a much more convincing way, a clearer way. So it was really marvelous.
Thanks, Judith. Thank you so much for calling. And, you know, here I've been remiss, because there are people who have not seen your show.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about how your show is structured and what goes into your show, all the different pieces.
Okay, so we start our show at our dairy farm. I'm a fourth-generation dairy farmer and living on a little dairy farm now. So we start each episode at the farm to kind of connect people to what's happening on our farm, just show them what we're doing. And then we go out throughout Wisconsin to visit other farms, find out about different things they're doing on their farms, what kind of value-added products they're producing, and find out a little bit about the farmers, why they wanted to do it. And then we gather those ingredients, take them back to our farmhouse, and cook up a farm-fresh meal.
Yeah,
around the farm table.
Wonderful. it's always great. I love your interviews. You've done a really nice job of interviewing.
Oh, thank you. Well, I love talking, especially to farmers. So,
well, Kim in Green Lake has something that she wants to bring up. Hi, Kim.
Hi, Inga and Larry. This is Kim, and I am with the Green Lake County Fair. and we are hoping Inga is going to come and visit us this summer.
That I, Kim, I, on the way down, I was just asking my dad. I said, so are we confirmed for the Greenlight County Fair?
Not quite yet. We've been going back and forth and back and forth. But I heard you made a visit to, I believe, the library in Greenlight.
Yes, we did.
That I heard rave reviews.
Well, that was the group that came to the library was just, I could have just brought my cows with me and just stayed there for the rest of my life. It was just so nice.
And hugged them all.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, and we just thought it's such our fair is run by our UW Extension office.
Okay.
And so we really like a lot of the educational aspects at our fair and geared more toward family and mm-hmm. kids and the learning activities, more so than grandstand acts. So mm-hmm. you'd be a perfect fit. So mm-hmm. I'm hoping to get everything ironed out with Rick.
Good. Well, I hope to get up there. I think that county fairs are so important. Especially,
oh, they're great.
Yeah,
aren't they?
Yeah. For us growing up on a farm, it was always the highlight of the summer. And this time of the year is when we'd pick out our calves that we were going to take, start training mm-hmm. them, start brushing them. And I loved going to the fair. It was just the greatest thing.
Were you in 4-H?
I was in 4-H.
Yeah, I was too.
Yeah, yeah.
It is. It's a wonderful thing, and it's great to share the agricultural aspect with some of the tourists in Green Lake that are from the larger cities. Mm-hmm. So it's wonderful. But I just wanted to call and say hi and introduce myself.
Well, great. Thanks, Kim.
And Kim, by the way, I have been to so many county fairs, but I've never been to the Green Lake County Fair. What time of the year? Oh, I know what time of the year it is, but specifically, when is it?
It's July 31st to August 3rd.
Okay, right, just ahead of the state fair.
Or yes, just before, it is.
Yeah,
yes, because most of our 4-H livestock exhibitors that do pack up, right when they leave our fair, they haven't had enough and they move on to the state fair.
Well, Green Lake County is a pretty place anyway, so I'm going to try and make it
well,
up.
Well, Larry, I will personally send you an invite.
Thanks,
especially
Kim.
When I know Inga's coming, what date and time for sure.
All right, Kim, thanks a lot.
Thank you too, and you have a great day.
Yep, you too. Thank you so much. Nice gal there. Cheryl in Verona. Hello.
Hi, Inga. Hi, Larry.
Hi.
So I guess I first had a comment about ricotta. I did take that cheesemaking class also from Linda Conroy several years ago and was able to combine two passions of mine. One is now cheesemaking. The other is pasta making. And you can make a lovely filling with a ricotta and some homemade ravioli. Many, many recipes out there. So that's a great use for ricotta. The other thing I just wanted to say was about my husband and I, this is our third year of moving from the city to the country and adding pigs last year, and then we're adding meat chickens this year. And this is obviously a couple hard springs in a row, but it's good to know that people have been doing this for many generations, and there's easier years than there is this year, for sure.
For sure.
Yeah, it was a tough last year. It was a miserable. And this is going to be such a late spring this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be.
The pigs won't wait for fencing, so we're going to have to figure that out.
Yeah.
But it's very exciting, and I really like Inga's show, and I'll have to catch that online since I've just started watching that. So, good luck to you and in the new markets that you're in, Inga.
Great. Thank you.
Thank
and
you
good
very
luck
much.
This spring.
Thanks very much for calling. And she has a good point about the shells and filling them with ricotta.
Mm-hmm. You know, pasta making too, Larry, is so easy. And speaking of eggs being fresh in the springtime, it's just basically eggs, flour, and a little bit of water. It's so easy.
And it's really good.
It's so much better than store-bought pasta. It's like a whole different experience.
And you can freeze those shells and with the ricotta in them. I mean, you can buy them in the store that way. Why couldn't you just freeze them yourself? And
yeah.
Then hang on to them and enjoy them later on.
Mm-hmm.
We have called in. We have many people who have called in, but we have some open lines for you at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. And Karen in Jefferson up next. Karen, hi. Thank you for calling.
Well, I'm glad to be able to get through. I really enjoyed Inga's show a lot. I felt like I was right at the party.
Thank you.
And My husband does some experimentation in the kitchen once in a while, and I've got an idea for milk. And he got his recipe for paneer online. Now, paneer is a cheese that looks just like tofu, you know, and it's the texture of tofu when it's done, and it doesn't take that long. I think maybe it takes a day overnight, but, I mean, it's nothing that has to be babysat or anything.
Okay.
And I was not looking over his shoulder, so I can't say much more than that. I know something was draining, but it took a lot of milk. I mean, he used a gallon of milk, but I'm sure the recipe could be changed. And so I know that's not that helpful, but the big suggestion is paneer.
That's a great
idea. On these Indian buffets, they have it mixed with spinach, and it tastes so good. And for anyone who doesn't like tofu or who thinks tofu is in there, it's really paneer. And so that would be one recipe you could make with paneer, and I'm sure there's others in, you know.
What is paneer? What's the flair? What's the taste? Is there a cheese that it tastes sort of like, or is it?
It's kind of plainer.
It tastes between cheese and milk.
Yeah. All right.
And they do call it cheese.
Mm-hmm.
So it sort of takes on, it'll take on whatever.
Right. Yeah.
Whatever you want to give it.
Yeah, it's similar to tofu that way. It takes on whatever you put it with, but even plain, it's not too bad. And I kind of like it. I'm comparing it to tofu, which I don't like. But this is something that does use up a lot of milk and is a lot different from previous suggestions, so I thought I'd call it in.
Thank you.
I'll try it out.
Okay.
Thanks, Karen. Thanks a lot for calling. And Cindy and De Pere's got a good question. I was going to ask it myself, but why not her? Hi, Cindy.
Hey. Hi. Yeah, I was just wondering, because you were talking about getting the whole milk from farms, and I thought, well, do you have to have milk that is raw? Can you use milk from the store that has been pasteurized?
Well, I've only used milk out of my milk tank because I've got it there. But yeah, you should be able to do it with milk from the store. I don't think it matters if it's pasteurized. But again, you're talking to the wrong person because I've only gotten milk out of my milk tank since I was a little kid. But all the recipes that I've looked at online, they all call for pasteurized milk.
Okay.
There you go. Thank you very much for calling, Cindy. And Natty in Waupaca. Hi, Natty.
Hi. Do you have just grass-fed milk cows, or have you ever considered having that? I understand that it makes the milk so much more nutritious.
Yes. Well, I definitely love grazing cows. I think that's my favorite part of dairy farming, is putting the cows on the pasture and moving fence and watching them graze the fields. And we try to do mostly grass-fed. I do supplement with some grain because I just feel like I want to get their mineral into them that way with a little bit of grain. And also, it's a great way to get them in the barn to get them milked, because otherwise, if I don't have grain in front of their stalls for them, they just look at me like, lady, what are you thinking? We're not coming in the barn. So I think that the grass-fed milk is wonderful. And we only feed baled hay at our farm, pasture, and a little bit of grain. I think that there's an art to going all grass-fed. And I'm not a good enough grazer yet. I'm not a good enough farmer where I can make sure that I'm getting the right nutrients and the right proteins from those grasses or from that hay to be able to cut out grain completely. But hopefully, as I learn more, I'll be able to do a better job of that.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Again, a little bit of time left. You can call us at 1-800-642-1234. We'll get you on pretty quick. Lynette called to correct the savory ricotta cheesecake recipe that we talked about earlier. It's actually 4 ounces each of ricotta and cream cheese and 2 ounces of goat cheese. And then it's a pinch of salt. Is it salt? She said sugar the first time around. Yeah, she said salt.
Yeah.
Pinch of salt. And I think Judith's got it posted already, or may have it posted already up on my Facebook page. So you can go from there. Well, you're getting some ideas about how to use your whole milk.
This is great because we have so much milk. We have so much milk that I almost thought, well, maybe I should have like a little spa experience. Take it upstairs in my bathtub and just soak in it. I don't know. Do people really do that, though? I don't know. You know, always hear about milk baths.
I honestly don't know. But I suppose, well, you could probably say, well, now here's something I probably have to spend $250 for.
That's right. Maybe I could add value to my farm that way. Bring your own towel.
Oh man. Well, there are some farming related events happening in April. The beginning farmer classes I know are coming up, and you may or may not have a role in that.
No, well, there's the new Farmer Summit. That's on April 4th and 5th, and Moses is putting that on.
Yeah.
Now, if anybody out there that's listening is interested in getting into farming or is a beginner farmer, always follow the Moses website. They have some great programs coming up that are listed for new beginning farmers. There's also on April 27th, there's a Farm Dreams workshop, and that's a great workshop put on by the Land Stewardship Project if you're interested in getting into farming. Now, I have some events coming up too that's sponsored by Wisconsin Farmers Union, and those are happening on April 9th. I'll be at the Arlen Town Hall in Clayton, Wisconsin. That starts at 11. And then on Friday, April 11th, I'll be in Spring Green at the Shed, and that also starts at 11.
Okay. And you'll be speaking there.
Yeah, I'm just going to be doing a little speaking, and I'm excited that the Farmers Union invited me to do this. It's an organization that supports family farms, and so yep. And they're embracing the family farmers. So I get to go and do a little speaking, get off the farm for a little while, and it's always fun.
As a Farmers Union member, our farm, we were Farmers Union members our whole farm career.
Mm-hmm.
They're a great organization.
Yeah, and it's always fun to go to these farming sort of events. You get a free meal, you get to talk to the people you haven't seen all winter. So it's a great social event.
And Michelle in Oregon. Hi, Michelle.
Hi. This is a comment in regards to a previous caller that asked if you could use pasteurized milk to make cheese.
Yeah.
And I took a short cheese making class. And the cheesemaker recommended you can use store-bought milk, but milk that was pasteurized at the lower end of the temperature range. And he did recommend Sassy Cow because it's still pasteurized within the safe range, but it's not super high heat. Like, for example, you couldn't use ultra-pasteurized milk or milk that you would buy in the little boxes that are high heat pasteurized, but even... He suggested making sure that the milk that you buy is at the lower range and would recommend Sassy Cow as one of them.
Ah, perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And with that, boy, what a fun time that we've had here. And I think we can go a little bit further here. The shows that are coming up, I'd like to talk with you about that a little bit. What do we have to look forward to in Around the Farm Table?
It's going to be a fun season for 2014. We've filmed a couple shows. We're still gathering ideas for upcoming shows, but in the farms that we've visited so far, we got to visit the Cider Farm in Mineral Point, Wisconsin. Mm. Do you know about the Cider Farm?
No.
They make apple brandy that is so good. It's like, it's better than good. It's just amazing. and so we were down there and we got to learn about their apple trees. They're not antique apple trees. They're cider trees. They're meant for the cider apple. I think they brought them in from England and they planted them, I think, 10 years ago in anticipation to make this brandy. And it is, I mean, just, you don't have to twist my arm to get me to sip brandy, and especially not with this. So we get to visit that and we're going to make, we're doing that for a winter Christmas time themed episode, and we make a figgy pudding without the figs. We supplement in Wisconsin cranberries and Wisconsin cherries. So it's delicious.
And then some little hot apple brandy or warm apple brandy?
Absolutely, yeah. and we also went up to near Turtle Lake, Wisconsin, and visited a lady named Sylvia who has a type of beef called Bolingo. And I could be mispronouncing it, but they're called Bolingo.
Bolingo.
They look like belted Galloways, you know, the little Oreo cookie cows.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're a breed of cows that was bred for the upper Midwest back in the 70s. They added a little bit of everything and made this wonderful cow. We picked up some beef from her, and it was just so tasty. And she's 100% grass-fed. And I think that I would love to go back up there and learn about how to
That sounds great.
Some good hay in there, and yeah, it's just delicious. So we have a delicious season coming up.
Doing exciting things. Thank you so much, Inga, for coming by and being with us today. You'll come back again?
Absolutely. And Larry, if you're ever in the Osseo area, stop by and milk cows with me. It'll be fun.
I haven't milked a cow in a long time, but I can still do it by hand. I'm pretty sure of that. I've still got the good wrist.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Inga. Inga Wischer, go to her website right now. And again, that website is?
AroundTheFarmTable.com, or you can like us on Facebook to get some wonderful recipes and some updates, and that's Around the Farm Table on Facebook.
And we have links, I think, both to both. So certainly if you need to get there quickly, just go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show, and we'll have those links for you. And that ricotta cheese is just really good. Thanks again. We have... it's really a treat to talk with somebody like Inga, who's so passionate and enthusiastic about life and being connected to our food and environment. We're going to continue that idea because up next, we're going to be visiting with Georgia Pellegrini. She has a new book out. It's called Modern Pioneering, more than 150 recipes, projects, and skills for a self-sufficient life. And Inga was looking at that book, and I think she might be buying a copy of it for herself at some point. You can hear about it yourself and stay with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.